Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you. Yes, you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Today's episode, I'm doing a deep dive on a topic that I have already covered in the earlier, I think it was like literally the episode number 4 or 5 were nearly, I think, is this, yeah, actually, this is episode number 100, if I remember well. We're circling in and around it. And what a special topic to bring back out and freshen up. And I bring it through the eyes of leadership. Every single guy listening in, you know, we want to be great leaders. I think it's one of the greatest desires that I have heard time and time and time and time again, from within my own mind for years with my queen, and from guys, you know, tons of guys jumping on discovery calls and in men's circles. It's hundreds of times I've heard this. Guys, one of our deepest desires is that our women will trust us. And trust is about leadership. Great leaders are trustworthy. And I really want to put that out there. It's like, you know, if she's not trusting you, you're not showing up in full leadership like you can. And you're not confident in your leadership. A lot of guys that I'm speaking with, they're acutely aware of this lack of confidence within them. It's like they know they want to lead, they want to be trusted, they want to be, you know, but like they just, it's like it sort of falls apart in the octagon of marriage when there's a ton of heat going on in arguments, etc., and this conflict ends up, their woman is yearning for it, she's calling it out. But if you're like me, and I know so many of you are, like in your own unique versions, inner world versions, you want to, but you don't know what that looks like. So today's episode, I'm going to do a deep dive in 6 key pillars of leadership. It's not the be all and end all. Of course, like if you look at books out there, it's like, oh, the 21 laws of leadership, the 18 signs, the 30. Like, I mean, you can, leadership is very big, but I want to bring it down to 6 points. These 6 points, I will build this in. These 6 points are clarity times concentration times consistency times courage times competence times cooperation. These lie on what I would call is the horizontal plane of leadership. It's incomplete by itself. You know, our women want, they don't want perfection, but they do want, I'll say this time and time and time again, they want presence. And they want to see progress. This is the progress is on the plane, is on the horizontal plane. It's getting from here to there. It's progress is sort of like unstoppable forward motion, and progress is like your capacity to crack a desire as a man, note where you are, where you don't want to be, where you want to be, you know, in at point B. Accept where you are at point A and go get there. Like, create that future, drag it towards you. It's an essential tenet of great leadership. Now, it's incomplete, definitely, in marriage if you don't have the vertical plane of leadership, which is stillness times sight, shape, state, and story. I've spoken about those before. Those 5 pillars of presence are your capacity to get in the here and now, to get your entire nervous system, your body, your mind, your eyes, your breath, your posture completely present with impeccable awareness to be with your woman with total equanimity. That's presence. So today is one half of that, and both halves have to work together. So I want to bring that bit of completeness in. But let's get going. One story I want to share in the beginning here, and I was linking out with there's 2 guys entering in. I want to say a big shout out. I'm not going to give surnames, but like, just, you know who you are. Shout out to was Ty and Andrew. I believe you guys, they're joining the inaugural men's circle, Heroic Husbands men's circle. Two powerful guys, and we really had a wonderful time, and we're talking about Jocko Willink and extreme ownership. In that book, Jocko Willink, who's an ex-Navy SEAL commander, he has like one part, one tenet of the extreme ownership leadership approach is there are no bad teams, only bad leaders. The story goes that, I might butcher the exact details, but you'll get the point along the way. Let's say there was like in Hell Week in the Navy SEALs, there's like the most grueling, it's like it's Hell Week, of course, and it's like Navy SEAL training. So it's like to push them to the absolute max. But as part of that training, we're breaking them up into six or eight teams. And in this exercise, this hellish exercise, well, all of the exercises were hellish. Both team six were always losing. They had sort of a big bunch of guys. They were always losing. They were, and their leader was sort of blaming the bunch of guys that were rowing the boat, that were meant to be doing all the movement. He was leading them. And both team two, they were knocking out the park. They were winning all of these competitions. They were like unstoppable. So where there are no bad teams, only bad leaders comes from is the overseeing instructor, as this part of the training, realize, okay, there's two extremes happening here. One team is losing all of these races and competitions against each other, and one team is winning them all. He's like, and he swapped leaders. So on one level, like one of these teams was losing. They were a team that were not working very well together. They were losing, 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 and the other was winning, winning, winning. So they swapped the leaders. And what ended up happening, true to the experience of the commanding officer, the instructor, he had the wherewithal and the wisdom to know. It's like, okay, let's just experiment this and see what happens. Of course, the story goes is once the leader was swapped, the results swapped. You know, like, I'm forgetting which way I actually said that story. It was like both team, what was it, six was, did I have them winning everything? I'm forgetting which. Anyway, it doesn't fucking matter. Whoever was winning all the races started losing because they had a poor leader. And whoever had been losing, 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 same team, same guys, same bunch of six guys, but they had a different leader. And that leader, when he swapped over, was a bit disgruntled, but he got down to it. He knuckled in and he was like, okay, I'm going to make the best of this. And he got them to win. So there are no bad teams, only bad leaders. Now, I wouldn't, like it's Navy SEAL style, black and white language, you know, I'd soften that a little bit. I would say there are no bad marriages, only husbands who have not yet learned how to lead powerfully. Okay, not yet learned. It's growth mindset. If you haven't yet learned, that's okay, man. That just means you're human. You know, growing up in a profoundly sick society that with no trauma-informed, no teachings on masculine and feminine dynamics, no teachings on family leadership, no teachings on communication, anything. Just preparing you, me, and every other man and, okay, women along with us, like to be economic, you know, cogs in an economic machine. You know, it's all education is preparing you for a career. Fucking wonderful. Nothing about how to be healthy, happy, and you know, any of that shit, any of the most important stuff in life. So hey, if you have struggled to show up with confidence in your own capacity to lead, man, you have not had any training or any education to bring out that leader that lies within you, but it is there, and this episode will help you touch base with that part. Another part of this is in great leadership, what's really important here is great leadership. Great leaders are not unstoppable in their own mind, in the sense of it's not that they don't have any weak spots. Every leader will hold their hand up, and what they do masterfully is they learn to navigate life and leadership and lead powerfully in a moment, which on the outside can seem like absolute extreme confidence all the time. But their mastery is their inner critic, the self-saboteur, the upper limiting part of their mind. It's there, but they just mind, they manage to show up and not take commands from it. So it's not that they don't have it. It's not that they have mental infallibility inside of themselves. They just discipline themselves. This process here will help you. These six pillars, where you'll get the grounded, like unstoppable nature when you bind them and lock them in together over time, how you can and will become unstoppable. I want to build in a bit of context here. These six things were what transformed my marriage when I had zero confidence at all, zero knowledge how to transform my marriage. That's why actually that podcast I did, like I think clock time about 18 months ago. I want to say it's like great leadership in marriage to transform your marriage is one thing, but like you learn to do it in marriage, you're going to learn to do whatever you want to make the impossible possible. I had an incredible dream there, what was it, 18 months ago, to start a podcast, start a movement. Man, it seemed impossible. I set the goal. I've shared this with you guys before. I set the goal, what was it, to have 1,000 weekly listens by the end of this year, this calendar year. I mean, I knocked that out of the park. We collectively, as a movement, like we created this. You guys following in, like full hats off, honoring and appreciation to you guys. But it's like clearly setting the platform and putting the episodes out there. Like there's 1,252 listens the last 7 days. I mean, it's amazing, and I've been really humbled to hear how deep you guys are taking this on board. With the guys that I've had like explicitly one-on-one calls, the discovery calls, clearly, I've like got exceptional accurate feedback as to how deep it's going. It's like so humbled and honored by the depth of courage that you guys are taking this on. So it's just to say, my inner critic, that part of my mind, like inherently, that part tries to tell me on a daily basis, I'm a worthless piece of shit. Who the fuck am I to lead this? Who the fuck am I to, even think I can inspire one man, not to mention like thousands of men, etc., etc., etc. That's my inner critic. That part tries to sabotage every time I click record for an episode. I have to have a conscious process to put on the shelf. So it's always there, and it probably will be there. So what I'm saying is this process is what will support you in a predictable way to navigate you, your inner critic, to make the impossible transformation possible in your marriage, in your career, in your financial revolution. Okay, we're going to be talking, rinsing this through the lens of marriage transformation, to make the impossible possible despite you having an inner critic. And most guys I'm speaking with have a really stingy, hard, horrible natured inner critic that beats the shit out of themselves at times. And we project that inner critic into blaming our women. So it's really, really destructive. So this process will support you, unfucking that part of you, putting it on the shelf and getting into full leadership role, which will have you as the most attractive man in your woman's life. Tons of context, as always, reminders of key principles. And yeah, look at it, we're part of the movement. Let's jump in here. So the first pillar is clarity. Most guys, like I know myself for years, I became aware of this, like most guys in marriage are lost. I use the acronym LOST, LOST, lack of specific target. I will ask a simple question, and it seems like a simple question, but it's actually a profound question. One of the simplest questions that most guys stumble upon when I'm coaching them in the early days of supporting them transform their marriage is like, well, what do you want in your marriage? What do you want? What do you want from your wife? Simple questions like that. Guys, all of a sudden, they go blank very, 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 very often. They go blank. They've no specific idea about what they want. And quite often what happens is like, oh, what do I want? Well, I want her to stop. And it's like, no. That's you're telling me what you don't want. And that's the thing that 99.9% of guys that are struggling in marriage, like I would say actually 100%, if you're having a struggle in marriage and you don't have great confidence in leadership and your woman isn't trusting you, it's because you've no clarity about what you want. You've no vision of where you're aiming your nervous system to move towards. And as a result, your nervous system gets caught noticing the shit that you don't want rather than the stuff that you do want. Now, this is catastrophic in terms of engendering safety and trust within your woman to follow you, to feel safe around you. Because if your nervous system doesn't know what it does want, like with great clarity, with vision precision is what I call it. It's like to have vision precision locked in. You know exactly what you do want. As a result of knowing what you do want, you know what you don't want. But hey, you have a clear image in your mind about what you do want. Well, that's denying your nervous system the capacity to spot, to notice in your environment what are opportunities to move towards that vision that you do want, you know, to get you into traction. We have two modes, traction or distraction. Now, if you've no vision to move towards, your nervous system can't gain traction towards anything because, like, where am I going towards? And it ends up with no vision. You get caught in same shit, different day. And then we ask ourselves the question, you know, it's like, oh, well, why don't my woman, you know, we start bitching. I was really upset. It was like, took it like as a personal, insult to my personhood, to my manhood. It's like, man, you know, I was saying it to my woman for the first 12 years. You know, if you could just trust me. Yet, the evidence I was giving her was like, I was just focusing on what I didn't want. I get upset. I was like, oh, I have to do this. I was so often, like Matilda actually just said that to me this morning. She was like, oh, Mark, like you used to be always there. Oh, I have to do. You know, it was never, oh, I get to do this or I want to do. She was like, you were always coming from, I have to do, with this resentful background of energy, because I was caught and stuck in a same shit, different day bind of not liking what was in my marriage, not was liking in a relationship, in our sex life, in our extended married life. I was not leading. One of the pillars that we talk about, sight, just in the marriage transformation system, like if you're going into Heroic Husbands men's circles or one-on-one coaching with me, we would be talking about the heroic husband continually renews a married life vision to focus his visual and imaginary attention on opportunities to create what he desires in his relationship. You continually renew a married life vision to focus your visual and imaginary attention on opportunities to create what you want in your relationship you're now leading. Think about the word leader. Leaders, by definition, have a vision, like hyphenated, lead-er. The path leads to, you know, it's like leads. There's in leadership, like the word, it's inherent that there's a point A and there's a point B. The path leads to, he leads to wherever. You know, think of Gandhi, the great famous leaders, Gandhi or Mandela. You can think of sports stars that went on and win like 7 gold medals, etc. They had a vision. They knew what their point B was, and they knew they were acutely aware where they were at point A, and they determined from that clarity of point B what they needed to do from point A to get there, and they became unstoppable as a result. A little bit of back on this, like to find clarity, solitude time. It's building your jigsaw box vision is what I call it. You know, you can't put a jigsaw together without the jigsaw box cover. Okay, so the jigsaw, let's say like the world is a mix of almost infinite jigsaw pieces. When you go out into the world, you go into your marriage and there's stimuli, there's events happening, there's, you know, there's your wife's agenda, her hidden agenda, her spoken agenda, your agendas, your kids' agendas, the agendas of the parent-teachers meeting, the teachers at school, your work. And like, so there's tons of agendas. There's tons of jigsaw pieces being flung at your nervous system 24/7. Who here, put your hand up, like energetically, you know, lean in. Who here finds it chaotic and overwhelming at times? you know, just being a husband, being a man in marriage, trying to get all of the shit working together in a seamless way. It's fucking intense. It's fucking intense. I've been at this like intensely for 3.5-4 years. I find it intense. I'll say that time and time and time again. I'm not saying that to make you feel good and like connect with you. I find it intense every single day. And my whole life is really dedicated to this work. It's fucking intense. Why? Because it's a leadership role. Leadership is intense. So you really need to have that jigsaw box cover so that when you are going through your life on a daily basis, you know what pieces are important. So you can go, oh, okay. And what that looks like is like when I'm talking about, oh, there's a piece. I like that. I'm going to focus on that. That's important towards my vision. One of the most hurtful things for women when they feel that they're not seen, heard, and safe around you, remember the key feminine needs, is when we don't notice the little things. Like if you've locked in clarity about the type of marriage you want, you know, noticing the good shit, which is like noticing the nice jigsaw piece that you want to put into your image, is like, oh, for example, I love it when you caress my shoulders as you pass, baby. Oh fuck, that's just beautiful. Thanks, baby. I appreciate you. I love you. I mean, that's a jigsaw piece. I remember for years, touch base with yourself. Has your wife, has your queen ever given you feedback? It's like, you don't notice like when I do nice shit. Or has she stopped doing the nice shit that like you look back and go, oh, she was all sweet in the beginning and she was all this and all that. And she complimented me and she trusted me and she doesn't do any of the good shit anymore. Here's the thing, man. Taking extreme ownership, you stop noticing. You stop focusing on the shit that you didn't want. More than 2 years in, that's when all our old conditioning comes up from family of origin shit. Our wounds make us blind to noticing the good shit. It happens every single marriage, man. Like, just accept it, take it on the chin. You don't have to go for like 4 years of psychotherapy to go, oh, Mark, you know, wow, man, that's what an insight. My childhood conditioned my mind and it's all flooding out, making a shit heap of my marriage now. It's making me blind to my woman because blah, blah, blah. Hey, like, you can do that. But you can also mechanistically just go, you know, let's be fucking black and white. You know, let's just take that is the mechanism. And that mechanism, my old wounds make me blind to noticing the good shit in her. This is why a vision, a vision, a vision. Having clarity. Have the vision. It's your jigsaw box. It takes the chaos, the unpredictable, the overwhelming unpredictability of everything being fucked your direction at your nervous system in life, and it gives it sense and order. You can go, that piece, yes, those 10,000 other pieces, no thank you. And you know what you're looking for. This is such a turn on for your woman because she's seen and heard and you're noticing the good shit and you're able to say, you know, no thank you and oh yes please. And you're able to acknowledge and reaffirm and encourage her to bring more of that good shit. The clarity also is the type of man you want to be. It's not just like this future external thing. It's the type of man you want to be. And with that clarity, I would say, like, fuck the whole thing of you have to achieve the vision. You have to achieve the external goal. And then I will be a happy, confident man. Screw that. You know, come from that place within you. Get clear about the man you want to be. Most guys have made promises repeatedly to their woman, to themselves, to be a better guy. But they put that like, oh, like I'm incomplete. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not confident in my leadership now. So someday I'll get there. Fuck that. Come, like if your first day in the mats in jiu-jitsu, I advise you like show up as if you're a black belt. Pay attention as if you're a black belt. Go at each exercise as if you're a black belt. That's what I'm talking about. Like come from, you know, as show up as if you're an heroic husband. Ask the question, what would an heroic husband do now? You start giving clarity to your nervous system about where you're coming from. Clarity, 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 guys. Number two, concentration. So you can already see with just clarity, with just a clear vision, you're already super empowered, but that's not enough. Concentration. Concentration is your capacity to, in a completely undistracted way, harness the full power of your thinking, you're talking, and you're taking action. They're the three universal creative tools. I'm going to be talking about the emotion as point number four, which is the fourth tool. It's not really the tool, it's the fuel. It's the fuel for the tool. So concentration is your capacity to channel your thinking, your talking, and your taking action exclusively behind creating your vision. So it's like it has a macro level in your whole life, and it has like in time blocks. Can you just have this capacity to remain undistracted with, you know, your 20 minutes of journaling in the morning practice? You know, it can be concentration. You know, can you meditate so you can lock in and just concentrate and like take control of your mind? Why is it important? Because energy doesn't discern good or bad. Energy in the universe, you know, it's life force. You know, the energy that wherever they say this in Law of Attraction teachings, you know, where the attention goes, the energy flows. So if you put your attention willy-nilly wherever, again, remember, without clarity, it's willy-nilly wherever. It's like on all the shit that's present in your life. So some micro doses of what you do want, but if you're predominantly focused on what you don't want, and then you concentrate your energy without any conscious awareness on a ton of shit that you don't want, where your attention goes, the energy flows. It gives life to shit that you don't want. So with the clarity of vision, you empower your attention, but then you have to concentrate that you're thinking, you're talking, and you're taking action behind creating that vision. Because think about the metaphor of a water in a back garden. Just remember the metaphors, like our nervous system, we lock in infinitely better with metaphors. If you go out and let's assume it's not like here in Ireland, albeit we've had like 3 weeks of heat wave. For us, we call it a heat wave. Some guys in the States and different parts of the world, you just call it like regular summer. But there hasn't been a lot of water falling. So assuming that it's like quite a dry climate, and you go out, you have a small back garden, but you just spray the hose everywhere and anywhere. What grows? Everything and anything. If you spray it everywhere and anywhere, well, whatever plants, whatever seeds, whatever, you know, has the potential to grow, it's probably going to grow. If it gets water, it's going to grow. Water, sun, bit of soil, it's going to pop up and grow vigorously. Whereas, if you just put your water on your roses, let's just say it's a rose garden, you just want roses. 99% roses, and you know, you'll snub out the rest. Like, what you do is you don't give any plant feed, you don't give any water, you don't water the weeds. Oh, here, there's like weeds, I don't really want that, or I don't want that flower anymore. You know, like, why would you give it water? Don't give it water. Starve the stuff that of sustenance that you don't want, and give water concentrated to the roses. More roses grow, you're happy. Your vision is a rose garden. You know, just concentrate the water to supplying what you want to grow. Make sense? It makes total sense. Guys, this is like your rational brain, that superpower of your brain, my brain, probably 90% of men in modern world, our rational brain is like a superpower. So it's like I get quite black and white with guys on calls. You know, it's like there's no point. I don't do the whole fucking sugarcoating shit of like, oh, let's do like, you know, 20. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm not a counselor. It's like, oh, let's build safety for 25 sessions and then I'll give you some black and white shit. It's like, no fucking way. It's like, if it doesn't fucking work, don't do it. If it does work, do it. If it doesn't make sense when you see it and you hear it and you're like, oh, wow, concentrate in my mind. I'm like distracted all over. Stop being distracted. Do whatever is necessary to get concentrated, empowered with a clear vision. Vision times concentration of your thinking, your talking, and your taking action going towards that goal. You're already pretty unstoppable, but you're not complete yet. But if you had those two alone, you would already be pretty red hot in your leadership, and your woman would already be paying a ton more attention to you. But we have four more to add to your unstoppable revolution of your confidence in leadership. It's going to transform your woman's view. Her whole nervous system is going to be humming. It's going to be humming like a fucking brand new car, just humming away like a brand new, I don't know, Ferrari, just vroom, vroom. It's going to be like going for your sexual center, psychological center. She's going to be locked in on you, man, already. But clarity multiplied by concentration and your marriage transforming hero's journey is not complete. You need to multiply clarity times concentration, multiply that by consistency. You know, you can have clarity and you can sort of like water the flowers sometimes, but then it's like really, really hot and barren for 5-6 days, but you're not concentrating anymore. You're not concentrating. You concentrated on Saturday and Sunday, but then you had a busy week. You know, it's easier to concentrate on your woman, on being present, on saying nice shit on the weekend. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you didn't water the roses. And they started fucking dying. Roses don't flourish if you don't water them. If there's botanists among you and say, well, actually, roses are the one type of... I don't fucking know if roses, okay? Just go metaphorically with me. Don't beat my ass on my metaphor. It could be totally wrong plant. You get the picture. It's like your woman, when she starts feeling that, oh, he's clear. He's like, he's bringing the good stuff. He's like beginning to notice me. He has clarity of vision. He's noticing the good stuff. And he's, oh, the weekend, it was wonderful. Like the way he was thinking, the way he was talking, the way he was taking action around me. Oh, it felt so good. Her heart is opening, guys. But consistency is what brings safety in leadership. If you concentrate yourself on, oh, I'm such a good boy and I'm just doing it for a day or two, or you go on holidays, or you get a bit of a role and you have a couple of days, or you get a good day, and you open her heart and you're there thinking, I have arrived. I am the king of my manor. I have like defeated all, you know, I've came, I conquered. She loves me again. And you rest on your laurels and you don't show up for the next day or two consistently with that momentum that you're building, it fucking hurts her. It stabs her in the heart. For a woman to open and to soften her nervous system down beyond her wounds, beyond her past with you, to go, okay, I'm going to feel hope again. I'm going to soften in. I'm going to let his loving nature, his softness, he's been concentrating, he's making a big effort. I'm going to let that beautiful softness, and I'm trusting. I've trusted him for 2 days. Let's trust him a bit more. And she's open in trust. She's expecting, she's wanting, she's yearning day three. And then, boom, you hit her with hardness. You hit her with your old shit. You hit her with, oh, well, it's like midweek and like there's stress at work and there's shit going down. And I didn't realize that, like, I had to, you didn't tell me earlier on that, baby, I had to bring the kids to baseball practice. I had this, I had like this other thing. And oh man, like I've had a hard day and you're giving me these responsibilities and you gave me this queenly feedback. Like it's the same old shit. She locks up, and so she should. Because why? The man that she is yearning to be the one man on this entire planet to show up consistently in leadership mode, in presence, showing progress, has disappointed her again. And it's bitter disappointment, guys. So consistency, consistency, consistency. I say consistency over intensity. Who here among us, put your hands up energetically, put your hands up in the air, put them up. Who among us masculine cord beings, most of us are masculine cord beings, get super pumped and get super intense. You know, you go to the gym, you burn yourself out. Like first days back at the gym, like you're a weekend warrior. You get to the weekend and you do DIY for 2 days straight, but like you go so intense, like you're broken in two when it comes Monday morning. Or you go back to jogging and like you jog so much in the first, you know, week that you end up with shin splints. You know, we attack the thing. And that's part of our masculine core, which is like full attack mode. There's this aggressive part of us, which is beautiful. It's like it gets shit done. But we end up overvaluing intensity of engagement over consistency in engagement. Consistency trumps intensity every single time. This is a secret, this is the secret sauce of peak performance. So you can say, oh, this whole soft shit for marriage and man, I'm just an intense guy, that's how I do things. Cool. How's that working out for you? What feedback is your wife's nervous system mirroring back to you with your, I'm just an intense guy? You know, it probably isn't working for you. If it works for Olympians, if it works for peak performance sports people, they speak it time and time and time again. Consistency over intensity. That's where the miracles happen. The other part, like a fact I love about consistency, is the hour of power. Guys in Heroic Husbands Men circles, deep coaching, etc., etc., we bake in this practice of like, hey, just 1 hour per day. Get 1 hour per day for self-reflective practice, you know, a bit of meditation, breath work, dropping in, you know, some exercise for yourself, self-care, getting yourself grounded in self-mastery so that you're feeling really good about yourself. You know, you prioritize you. So often, guys, we try the nice guy, we try to prioritize everybody else, but then we end up resentful because our nervous system and our physiology is depleted. So we severely kick back against our wives, our kids, life, because we haven't nurtured ourselves, number one. But think of this, the hour of power. I've mentioned this before, repetition is mastery. It's a game changer. 1 hour per day multiplied by 365 days equals 9.5 work weeks dedicated to transforming yourself and your marriage over a whole year. No more fucking excuses about, oh, I don't have time. You carve out, use full creativity to carve out 1 hour per day. That over 365 days is you having dedicated 9.5 weeks, work weeks of time to your marriage transformation. Game changer or what? It's what has completely transformed my marriage, my life. Back in the early days when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, I don't have a lot of time. I thought it was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by a ton of shit that wasn't working, a ton of shit I didn't want to do. But I was like, okay, in that 1 hour per day, what if I just focus on what I do want to do? And I started getting in on my vision, clarifying what I needed, what I wanted, etc., etc., etc. All of this stuff was birthed out of that 1 hour for me. The rest is history. It transforms everything. So clarity, times, concentration, getting your thinking, your talking, and your taking action behind that clear vision, and then consistently, on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment daily basis, keeping your thinking and your talking and your taking action, building that momentum. Momentum is everything. Are you just, can you feel, does your rational mind start getting excited going, man, if I get this clear in my vision of what I just really want and my nervous system can lock in on that, man, if I just concentrate on that and get my thinking, my talking, my taking action behind that, you know, focusing that, oh, can you see how your woman would start responding to you and you doing that consistently? Can you see? Every guy I've done this with live is like, I can just see them. They're nodding. It's like their whole, I call it whole body nods. It's like, man, I reflect this back so often. It's like, I have fun doing it. You know, when guys, and it might even happen. I can't reflect it back to you when you're listening, but you know, do you ever find yourself like with a whole body nod? That when you're hearing something that's so true, it just cuts through all bullshit. It cuts through all excuses. It's just inherently true. It's so true, your whole nervous system can't resist the simplicity of it. I know that, as I say, the whole body nodding, and I'll smile, I'll break out into laughter. It's like, dude, do you see, like, your whole body is nodding to this? And every guy would be like, yeah, man, it's so cool, it's so clear. When I explain this system to guys live in coaching and in men's groups, man, it's just, it lights up every part of the nervous system. Why? Because you and I, brother, and every single man listening in, deep down, we want to get what we fucking want. We want to know how to get what we want. We want to know how to get what we desire, our deepest desires. And if we don't know, we're afraid to go for it. But when you start building this clarity inside of you that, man, this process is unstoppable. These pillars put into practice, you are an unstoppable creative beast in the universe, and your woman will love that. But you're only halfway through. Clarity times concentration times consistency. Number four, we're going to courage. Clarity times concentration times consistency. But if you multiply all of those efforts by, like, with a meek, mild, okay type of energy, you know, 1 to 10, 10 out of 10 is like, I don't know, UFC champion Khabib going in to kill some motherfucker. Like, just like 10 out of 10. Conor McGregor on the way to the top. 10 out of 10. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, you know, at their absolute best. That's 10 out of 10 courage, okay? You know, 2, 3 out of 10 energy. You can have all the clarity in the world. You can concentrate. You're thinking, you're talking, you're taking action. You can be as consistent as you want. But if you bring a mild energy, you're going to get a mild result. And like a mild energetic investment off you, your woman is going to be pretty fucking repulsed. It's not leadership. Think about the great leaders. Gandhi, Mandela. Like, I mean, if you go to spiritual leaders like Jesus, Buddha, we wouldn't be talking about them years later. All of these individuals, spiritual, mystical, religious, political, social reformer, whatever, we wouldn't be talking about them if they had a damp, mild energy, would we? No fucking way. Now, some of you guys, I know it can be the thing. It's like, hey, but, you know, I'm not very confident. This courage is different than confidence. You don't have to have any confidence. Oh, but I'm not confident, like, to bring that level of emotionality to it. It's like, man, I guarantee you, if you were there in front of me, like, if you've, because, you know, a lot of us, every single one of us have had, like, it's another point when I'm in discovery calls with guys and, you know, I don't have to ask. It's like, I just say it. It's like, brother, you've had tough times growing up, haven't you? You've had tough emotional experiences, psychological experiences to get through. I was like, the dude, every guy, just like, he's nodding the head. It's like, me too, man, me too. You know, sometimes we talk about them a little bit in the discovery call, sometimes, but like very often it's not needed. It's just like there's to nod and bow to, we've all had experiences growing up where our 10 out of 10 courageous self, that 10 out of 10, I'm badass, I'm bold, I'm storming in, and then our parents tell us like, oh, would you sit down and be quiet? Like, Jesus, you're just so annoying. Like, you're being bold, etc., etc. We bring our 10 out of 10 courage to school and teachers start telling us, be quiet, sit down, you know, that's not welcome. And it's like this bold, daring part of us. And maybe we get like, maybe severely corrected at home, or it's like really traumatized, or maybe we're bad, we're psychologically, emotionally abused, etc., etc. Some people sexually abused, like maybe a loved one died, and just that daring, courageous expression got locked in, got frozen, you know, from some trauma. I get that. I want to say I get that, and that can be intense. Yet, here's the thing. You've had the courage to get here. You've had the courage to stay alive. You might be able to see that as evidence, but if you've had the courage to get here, you had the courage, you're a married man. A lot of you have kids. You've had the courage. That takes courage, man. To not have the confidence, to not have the experiential know-how, to not have the competence to, like, oh man, are you ready to be a father? Oh, are you ready for marriage? It's like, every guy has been asked that question. Every guy laughs going, I fucking didn't know how to answer that. That's inherently courageous to go forward without certainty of knowing the result. So some part of you, and some part of you, who you have the courage. It's there. It can be locked in deep, but you know, without that fuel, you know, I mentioned a Ferrari earlier. You know, a Ferrari, think about like a Ferrari or Bugatti or Porsche, whatever, you know, your car is. I mean, it can be the most beautiful car on the planet, but without fuel, it's useless. Try to have a rip-roaring, incredible experience in a car that doesn't have fuel to go. Make sense? Or if it has shitty fuel, you know, shitty fuel, and it's like spitting and spurting and sparting, and it's like you can't accelerate, and it's just, it's a horrible drive. I mean, you get out in disgust. Same thing. our women, our their nervous system is tuning in to our levels of courage all the time. A man that shows up with, you try to, you intend 10 out of 10, but like consistently 7, 8, 9, 10 out of 10 intention of courage. What does that look like? It's you, like courage will show up when you, you know, really attack what you need to do versus what you want to do. What you want to do is determined by a boy energy in you. It's like the immature boy energy. It's like, mommy, I don't want to clean my bedroom now. It's like, yeah, you know, as you keep playing your computer game. You know, your mother might get be a bit pissed, but she'll probably clean your bedroom anyway. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it sort of happens, and like, it's a boy energy. Oh, what I want to do and what I don't want to do. The leader in you has the courage to do what you need to do. Courage shows up in behavior when it's like the courage to lead in the bedroom, to lead with your desires, the courage to have like a 10-minute sweaty-handed conversation. And there can be definitely in the beginning days of like a, you know, getting your marriage going from maybe it has went down, the momentum is behind like stagnancy and a lack of connection, and like a lot of guys connecting in, like there's been affairs, there's been like a real closing off your woman's heart. That's like really present out there, guys. That's okay. That makes you human. That makes your wife human as well. If her needs have not been met, if she's been starved of her needs, I mean, she will protect her heart. But it takes like these 10-minute sweaty-handed conversations to get really real with yourself, with your woman, etc. And it's courage that you fuel that with. Asking for what you need, setting boundaries. Setting boundaries with your wife, setting boundaries with others, with your in-laws. Courage to be vulnerable, to have the courage to just open your heart, to put down your, you know, your weapons, to put down your shield. Be humble and say, sorry, that takes courage, you know. And the courage to have the intention to connect versus be right. To be right, that's cheap. That's cowardice. I'm telling you, it's to be right. It's like, oh, I'm be right. I feel so powerful now. I'm right, you're wrong. It's cowardice. It has never worked in the history of marriages. Cut that out. It takes courage to have the intention to connect, trump your impulse to be right. That takes courage. All of these practical examples, there's tons of other examples of where courage, there's invitations to be courageous. It will turn your woman on. So can you see, guys, clarity, times concentration, concentrating, you're thinking, you're talking, you're taking action behind creating that vision of your beautiful marriage, your beautiful relationship with your woman, consistently showing up, and you fuel all of that with courage. So that the Ferrari of your beautiful marriage vision has the top end fuel to get you the best driving experience out of it, and you drive off into the sunset happily ever after. No, not yet. Because it's still quite incomplete, even though can you feel the raising in your confidence of you can achieve anything in marriage if you went with these first four things already. Every guy that's in front of me, if I was in the room, like the rational mind again is like, wow. If I get clear on my vision and I concentrate and I do that consistently and I bring full out of 10 out of 10 courage to create data that will show, you know, I'm doing good. Confidence, by the way, this is the key distinction here. Confidence is the byproduct of courageous action. This is like the key to building your confidence as a leader, is to fuel that journey to increasing confidence with courage. You don't rely on confidence in the beginning because you don't yet have the data to give you the confidence. Confidence is a byproduct of hundreds of courageous actions. And from those courageous actions consistently taken, hey, your woman is smiling more. She's wanting to make love with you. She's cuddling you, you know, spontaneously. Oh, wow, this wasn't happening. She's chuckling, she's laughing, she's flirting with you. You're getting the data and your confidence rises. But the confidence rises from the data, from courageous actions. Number five, guys, is competence. Competence, competence, competence. You can channel all the love in the world, all the courage in the world through clarity, concentration, consistency, courage. But if you're not competent, I have used this before, but I find it's sort of a really cool and accurate description of it. I remember going on a light aircraft with my brother. He had a private pilot's license for light aircraft, and when he brought me out for a spin the first time, man, there was excitement in me. It was like, wow, you know, all of these, you know, dials and stuff in front of me, and like you have the little, I don't know, what the fuck do you call that little thing? You put your two hands in front of you, and you know, from films and from different things, it's like, you know, I sort of knew within reason, and like, if there's pilots out there, again, it might be like my rose metaphor. You might be like, well, it's not that fucking simple, man. It's like, whatever. Okay. Work with me, guys. Work with me. It's sort of like potentially, arguably easy enough. It's like, hey, you know, intuitively, we sort of know that like little semi-broken steering wheel thingy, yoki, whatever that's called, control thing, you know, we sort of intuitively know it's like, oh, just like a little bit of steering, like that will keep you on the straight and narrow. Push the throttle forward, you know, that lever, just push that forward. You know, the, what they call it, propeller goes crazy. You start steaming off down the runway. We sort of all would probably know. It's like when you get to a certain speed, of course you would want to know technically speed, but just assume that you just get to whatever speed and you just lightly pull back, and man, even the most rudimentary guy probably has a good chance of getting that plane off the ground with just that little bit of awareness. Within reason, okay? You would not want to try this. Don't try this at home later, folks. But you get the point. It takes like a low level of competence within reason, or probably like very little training, to get a plane up off the ground. The main training that's necessary is, how do you navigate storms, bad weather? How do you navigate when a cloud comes in and you're up there? What do you do? How do you get from point A to point B in a safe way, that you don't crash into other people, that you don't get like caught out in the weather, etc., etc., etc.? It's relatively little skills will get you and your plane up into the sky. 99% of the skills are necessary thereafter to make that a safe, enjoyable experience where, again, your confidence will grow. Can you imagine you somehow stumble down the runway, you somehow, it's a bit crazy, you know, like a, you somehow, like an emergency thing, fucking the aliens were coming behind you, you had to get into the sky, whatever the fuck, work with me. And you somehow, just in the desperate emergency of it all, you had to get that plane down the runway and you took off in your ignorance. I mean, it didn't take much to get it off. But here's the thing. The vast majority of us have done that in marriage, have we not? You know, apart from these token gestures, sort of, oh, yeah, sometimes there's this obligation, you need to do the pre-marriage course. To be honest, who's really giving a fuck at that point? I don't know. Like, maybe there's some nuggets, but like, if you're listening in here, obviously those nuggets were not that powerful for you. You know, it's token gesture. It's not deep, deep emotional training. It doesn't, like, it's not black and white. It's not like this, no bullshit to really snap you into leadership. It's like, oh, best, oh, it's 50-50. It's not 50-50. I've ripped through that shit before, but it's like, it's all this generic type stuff that most people, they treat it as token gesture. So we get married, and then what? The masculine mind, very often, subconsciously, is like, okay, cool, job done. Married, I got down one knee, I had the courage again. You had the courage to do it, had the courage to say yes to a wedding, had courage to go for it, man, commit for life. Kudos to me. I have arrived. That's like, you know, getting married is like you somehow got that small light aircraft, that Cessna, up into the sky. Well done. Well done. That's, you know, the first couple of weeks in marriage is like your first minute in the sky. You're like, I did it. I did it. And now what? Now what, in both the metaphor and real life after getting married, is the deepening questions questioning and feedback from your woman and from life to test your leadership. And what's leadership? One level of it is a test of your competence. A leader can't be competent. You know, it's like Gandhi and Mandela. They had to raise their competence in their speech, in their capacity to verbalize and to, you know, to get their point across, to get the masses supporting them. Competence in speaking, in public speaking, in being emotive, in the use of metaphor, etc., etc. It's absolutely essential. So if you have had no training, no education, like my question is this, and I want you to pause, like just ask this. How many hours of your education was on the topic of conscious relating or the topic of deep listening, on the topic of meditation, you know, how to be still and present, on the topic of practicing the art of sexual polarity, on the topic of being trauma-informed in the world, on energy mastery, how to be happy, etc., etc. I've never once got one person that said, oh, like hours, oh, we always had this, and like maybe the odd little bit, oh, by the time I got to college. By the time we get to college, we're already fucked up. You know, we've already had the what they call them, the formative years, 0 to 8. Whatever our belief system has been set in the system at that point. So like it's a little bit late. And if it's not deep trauma, deep inner work, it's not enough. 99.9% of guys are like, man, zero, nada, niente. Doesn't matter what the language, doesn't matter what the culture is, like, no, very, very little. Why? Because I'm not going to go conspiracy theorists and all of this thing again, because it's not a conspiracy, it's just like a world fact. You know, it's almost like, guys, as I see it, it's almost like the governments of the world have, like, somehow at some point, unwittingly set the entire system up to disempower individuals en masse. Now, if that makes me like a person who takes a theory and puts it out there, and it's just a theory, and you want to, but like, it's almost like it was just set in the system, it was systematized, that disempowerment was systematized. It's almost like that. I'm just saying, it's almost like. Almost like that, so much that I would see it as an absolute fact. Anyway, we arrive into marriage radically incompetent. And without the training, without the information, without the strategies, without the know-how, without the feedback from people, and we're going to be shifting into the next one, but without the know-how and the training in it, how can you lead in marriage if you don't have the know-how? Like, you wouldn't, you know, it's craziness to even take off in the airplane. But if, you know, if your instructor was beside you going, okay, like, aim it for that band of bad weather over there, you'd be like, man, are you crazy? I don't have the training yet. Of course, that wouldn't happen. It's hypothetical. It would be stupidity to even take off without the full training to know how you could do that. Definitely if you're going at it independently. And of course, we don't have a flying instructor there beside us. You know, as we go into the flight of marriage, it's just yourself, your inner critic, your best intentions, your wife, her inner critic, her best intentions, and let's get at it. And man, you might carve out, get lucky for the first little while, but you throw kids in, you throw changing careers, you throw, you know, mortgages, you throw the commute, you throw in-laws, you throw all of that shit. Man, your lack of confidence will be shown up severely. Is this true or is this true? So can you get, guys, if you actually got the training and the competence where you actually knew exactly what to do, like if this arrives in conversation, then I do that. If you got training to have that levels of competence, that your confidence in leading powerfully, you would have, if you had competence in conversation, in how to communicate with your wife powerfully in moments of conflict, if you had like training in competence in that, wouldn't you have the courage to go, okay, let's have that 10-minute conversation. I know exactly how to do this to make sure you feel seen, safe, you know, seen, heard, safe, and I can get my truth across in a way that you can receive it. Wow, wasn't that a beautiful experience? If you had the competence, would you not like have way more conversations? They would actually become a beautiful experience and you would be on this upward spiral. True. And same in the bedroom, same in all areas of your emotional life with your woman. Competence is key. But it's not the whole lot. And actually, if some of you have heard that first episode, you know, that I did ages ago on these, it was 5 points. I've added in another one recently, and I wanted to keep it at five. I was like, oh, Jesus, six, it gets too much, but it's so key. And I'm bringing it front and center. You'll have heard me recently. I want to create a culture here with this final part is part of our culture that I speak to it unapologetically. We speak to it together. We just constantly infuse all the communications and the podcast in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles and coaching on this point, and that is cooperation. Going it alone, you get clear, you try to concentrate consistently, do it on a daily basis, you have the courage, you upgrade your competence, but you do it alone and you've no support. Lone wolfing does not work. Cooperation to multiply the clarity, the potentiality of the clear vision times concentration, consistency, courage, and competence. The glue, the cement that brings it all together is cooperation. Reaching out and getting and cooperating with powerful men, powerful teachers, coaching. Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Guys, I'm telling you, it's like, it's lone wolfing does not work. We have this modern culture. Again, it's like the reminder of this front and center. They call it toxic masculinity, but I don't like that term. But it's like one of the most toxic ideas in modern masculinity is that like lone wolfing is like a badge of honor. Lone wolfing when you're struggling in marriage is a badge of insanity that you're wearing. A man, hey, I'm not judging you. It's like, it's just calling for what it is. I'm holding my hand up literally in the bedroom, like where I'm recording this. It's insanity. It was insane for me. My woman like fell in love with another dude, like nearly lost my wife and kids because why? I was trying. I was doing all this. I was raising my upskilling competence. I was learning, but I was doing it all on my own. And I had no fucking idea what to do when. I had no feedback. I had no training. I had information, but I didn't know how to get competent, how to use that information. So the competence grows in tandem directly with cooperation. It really does. You need that feedback and accountability. Again, the reminder of recent episodes, and I'm as like just front and center. Navy SEALs, UFC champions, CEOs, they all depend on support. Olympians. You look at Mahatma Gandhi, you look at these great leaders, all of them, they had teams of people supporting them behind the scenes. Men who struggle go it alone, ultimately. Again, I nod and I bow, and I from a trauma-informed, soft, open-hearted perspective, I get that you all have experienced some trauma with like authoritarian-type leadership, and you have deduced a lot of the time subconsciously that, hey, it's safer to go it alone because I don't want somebody telling me what I have to do, what I should do. Just to be really clear, you know, I'm black and white. I actually have a beautiful testimonial just coming in there yesterday, and I got permission. I saw the email just before recording this to use that. It's a beautiful, it wasn't even a testimonial. It was a beautiful, comprehensive email that one of the guys that was on a discovery call this week, I've had loads of guys on discovery calls in the last week, and there's five or six more guys booked in, and it's getting busy. I'm having a full schedule. So full appreciation to all of you kings that have been like answering that call to snap out of lone wolfing. A good few of you in the sign up sheet, you're saying, hey, I'm snapping out of lone wolfing. I'm loving it. It's getting part of that mindset that we have as at the core of our culture here at Be the Husband She Brags About. But it's like, it does not happen. I'm really black and white. I really like in my one-on-one coaching in the discovery calls, but it's radically safe, guys. You will be seen, you will be heard, you will be radically safe. First and foremost, they're the deep feminine needs. We speak about them for our women, but that's a deep, deep need. You all will have that with me in the one-on-one call, in the discovery call. And like, it's going to be intrinsically linked within heroic husbands, men's circles, profound safety, like a beautifully safe space where you will be heard, you will be seen for whatever struggles you are going through, your human story behind the scenes, you know, the challenges, your inner and outer challenges in marriage and in your inner world. I mean, you will be seen, you will be heard. It'll be radically safe. And yet from there, we will go at it from the old ancient root of educare, which is drawing out that which lies within you, which leads to what? When you connect with the power, with the spirit, with the soul. If you are from a Christian perspective, you'd be like the Christ consciousness in you, the Buddhas, the Buddha nature in you, the Atma in you. It's like whatever that word is for you. When you start connecting with that level of energy and core truth in you, you will see your confidence in leadership, your confidence in capacity show up in the octagon of marriage to meet your woman and the storm of horror, power, and the storm of your married life, the chaos in it, and be at one with that. And that is the core essence of great leadership. So guys, coming into landing here, I'm going to stop saying this. It's a long one. It's a fucking beautiful, beautiful conversation with you. And I, you know, want that to be like it feels like a conversation. I'm feeling so much love for every single one of you. A big shout out to those guys that have booked the discovery calls. You're leading in this movement. I'm deeply, deeply inspired what I'm hearing from you guys. How much you're engaging with the podcast, with all the ideas, how you're like full courage implementing to the best of your awareness, you know, just tearing it up in your marriage, bringing your fullness to it, and like having some successes and having frustrations, but you're trying. But yeah, thank you for reaching out for those, for jumping on the discovery calls. That takes courage. And my coming into landing challenge, guys, to every single one of you, it's a tragedy for me. It's an absolute tragedy for me that one of you, any one of you listening in, and I know there's infinitely more than one, but that one of you could be experiencing a deep inner struggle, like your back's against a fucking wall, there's shit going down in your marriage, and your heart and your best of intentions isn't good enough just yet, and you remain there in silence, not getting direct support, when there's a free heroic husband's men's circle discovery call that's available to you. Zero obligations. Every single guy that is jumping the call has had a massive shift in clarity and actually in felt confidence that he can actually do it. The word hope is coming up in all guys. Most guys are going, man, I'm feeling hope. I'm way more hopeful going forward. And you're talking about guys that the women have had affairs, the women are currently cheating or have cheated a couple of times, or their women have just frozen up. They don't want to talk with them. They don't want to have sex with them, etc., etc. That's out there. I don't want like the guys that have signed up for me to be like putting a fire in them. They represent so many guys. So what I'm saying, guys, I really, my heart of hearts, my love, my intentionality is to be there for you, to have a door that, you know, yeah, my direct challenge is don't struggle alone. Practice like 10, 20 seconds of 10 out of 10 courage. And now at the end of this episode, and I'm going to be saying this again and again, but it's like if 4 or 5 guys every single week go, fuck it, this is my week, let's do it, let's see what happens here, man. What's the worst that's going to happen? Your entire marriage, your entire married life and the rest of your life can change radically for the better. That is what is happening with every single guy that comes on those calls, guys. But that is not available to you. I can't book the call for you. No other guy in this movement can book the call for you. Your wife, your kids, nobody in your neighborhood can book the call. You have that capacity. You and only you. Do you have the courage to do it? Start making epic shit happen in your marriage and married life. That's up to you guys. The link is at the bottom of every podcast link. Until the next day, guys, I'm so excited with the movement, how it's unfolding. It's unstoppable, this movement. Thank you so much for listening in. Full love, full appreciation. Deep bows from Roscommon, Ireland. And yeah, reminding ourselves why we do what we do here on a bi-weekly basis. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, beautiful, kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.